You're listening to the So You Can Relate podcast.
Hey guys, we are back again with another episode. Today we have another guest.
Hey, look at us, look at us.
We have our amazing, beautiful friend, Amy. Say hi,
hi.
Amy.
Hi guys, hi podcast.
Hey everybody. So yeah, we're in abundance at this point, in terms of having guests. It's our second guest. So yeah, it's an honor to have you here. And today we're just going to talk about Amy's journey into being a Christian and her life before that, her life now. We're just going to vibe out as usual, really, and just see where the conversation goes. So relax, sit back, let's get into it. So Amy, introduce yourself to our listeners.
Okay. My name is Amy, and I'm at Adephala and Joyce in uni. Mm-hmm. And but I guess I am the star.
Star of the show.
Yeah. I don't know if I have anything else to say. You can pry and I'll share as much as I.
Mm. How did you meet Amy?
I remember I met you before. I met you and the friend that you had at uni, I'll keep her name confidential, before I met anybody else at uni. Do you remember? Okay. Because we lived in Fleming Hall in Brunel, and
you guys live in the same flat?
No,
not same, just the same building. Okay. Yeah. And that night there was a fire alarm, remember? And everybody just like went outside, basically. I guess it was basically all first years and some in the second and third years. We all went outside for the fire alarm, and I remember I was in my my bathroom. God, I've imagined. I was in my bathroom, and I remember seeing you and our friend, and I didn't even really speak to you. Did I speak to you much? I think I just said...
I don't remember the interaction.
I just remember seeing you and being like, oh, hi, and like kind of standing next to you and then going back inside afterwards. Yeah. And that was literally it. And then I saw you a few times at TRF, maybe in second year, I think. I don't think in third year.
Second year, for sure.
I saw you a few times at TRF in second year. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I didn't see you too much though. I remember you did maths.
Yeah.
You studied maths.
Yeah, and you did English.
Yeah, I did English and creative writing. And you did like athletics too, right? I remember that too, thinking, yeah, she's so like, she does maths. She's so smart, clearly.
Yeah, I hear that.
But yeah, that's basically, that's the first when I first met you.
I met Amy through...
Oh,
we're not going to say her name?
Oh, okay. Oh, okay, yeah. I didn't say her name.
You just beat that out. I met her through her. And yeah, so we had a really good mutual friend. I think we met in second year. And I think it was the library. I remember vividly seeing you a lot of times. Wait, we can obviously like... Anyway, let me just flow. Do you remember that weird guy in the library? What was his name? He was such a weird guy. And you used to run away from him in the library and lock yourself in the what are those rooms called? The study rooms. You don't remember him?
No.
And he was short.
A lot of
And he had glasses.
Oh, yeah. That's
you remember him now?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Not my finest moments, but yeah.
You would run away from him.
He was so weird. He was awkward. You know them strange people at uni?
Yeah.
He was one of them. But yeah, no, I remember us like hanging out in the library and all of that. And Amy was just always such a good student. Mm. She was motivating us, you know? She was like, come on, guys, you got this. Yeah.
I feel like in that group, because obviously I sort of gatecrashed my friend's study circle.
Yeah.
I felt like they're not taking me seriously because I'm very jokey. Like the surface level in me is very jokey. And I'm thinking like, no, guys, like I'm a serious candidate. Like,
trust me, we knew you were serious.
I think if you hear someone's doing maths for a degree, you're just going to assume that they're serious.
Exactly.
Mm. But how was your degree though?
Mm. How's my degree? You know what, like in hindsight, when I think about maths, I think it's very like simple, like once you've mastered a concept, and then that way I can kind of like take away from the accomplishment, I guess, of studying maths. But in the moment, I definitely had times like when I'm crying because it looks like gibberish.
Yeah.
But what I like about maths is you never feel like you've learned enough. So like even now, God willing, I could do a master's in a year's time. But yeah, like, I don't know. I think it suits my personality so well, the course. Like, obviously there's other things I would have studied and would like to study in the future, but it's a really good degree. And I like that I don't have to like read and essays. You know, it's very like...
That's everything I love.
That made what's that thing called? Dissertation, that made it really hard. Writing so much.
Oh, I didn't even know that you guys do like conventional dissertations and like having to write. So what did you do yours on?
So like it's called a final year project. So usually you do like mathematical, analytical work. And my one's called Smart Home, Spy Home. So I had like, I think 50,000 or more, like lots of data set entries of smart home. You know, like when there's automated light bulbs.
Okay. Yeah.
And basically all these like automated appliances, they like log data entries.
Okay.
To, like a server.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I had like this anonymous, I don't know if this is boring for the podcast. It's fine.
Go for it.
But yeah, so I had an anonymous data set of all these entries of smart appliances.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, I'd like discern how many rooms are in the house, what are the activities of the occupant, just from the data. So it was cool like to figure out, okay, these groups of lights switch on at the same time often, so they must be a part of the same room. And you're using like different mathematical
principles. That is so interesting.
Yeah. So
I never would have thought that a like a final project, a dissertation at maths would require something like that.
I know.
I just think of literally, like, is it going to be loads of equations? I know that's such a...
Let's see how many equations you can do today.
Oh, I get it.
Yeah, I definitely skimped on the equations. I feel like it was more of a computer science dissertation, but whatever.
No, that's crazy. Mm. So I find your journey really fascinating because when I met you, you were not a Christian.
Oh, I was definitely not a Christian.
No. Yeah. And you always, like, you were, you came across as someone who was really, like, comfortable in, you know, whatever you were in, whether that was, I don't know specifically whether you were, like, atheist at the time or you just were agnostic and unsure. But, yeah, you didn't seem like someone who was, like, interested in exploring so much or really trying to figure out if, like, being religious or becoming a Christian was for you. I remember one time us inviting you to TRF and you came to, like, a girl's, you know, the Valentine's Day thing we had.
Oh, yeah, can't forget.
Was it Valentine's? Yeah, it was. It was a girl's Valentine's thing. And you were just good vibes, like, you were happy to be there.
For the food.
Yeah. You didn't mind that, you know, this was a bunch of people that said that, you know, that they were Christians and all of that. Like, you know, you just... Well, good vibes. But I, yeah, so I remember when I found out that you were a Christian, I was like, wow, that's interesting because it didn't strike me as like that's something that you were trying to explore. So how did that journey begin for you?
Wow. So yeah, I feel like even me going to the TRF meetings, that's all a part of my testimony of God, like softening my heart and leading me to him. Because genuinely, like I'm not supposed to be a Christian, quote unquote. Like I never planned it in my life journey to have a faith in God and the Bible and believe in Jesus. Like that wasn't part of the plan at all. And like, I guess in terms of going to all those Christian meetings, I was there for the food, to be honest. And like,
and honestly, I keep saying the reason I came back to TRF was because they had Kit Kats.
Literally. Yeah. And the s'mores, you guys remember extra s'mores, you know? Yeah. And like, I don't know. I feel like, you know, a lot of people maybe enjoy the comfortability of Bible things. Like, oh, okay, I'm going to do something a bit righteous today and support my friend, our mutual friend.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I wanted her to do something good rather than me always dragging her out to the clubs.
So, okay,
because, you know.
Oh, we used to get down.
Yeah.
Back in our day.
She was, you know, my sidekick in the clubs. And I thought, like, I knew that she had Christian convictions. So I would want to be her support and mingle with her crowd.
Mm-hmm.
But you want to know from like prompt me with where in my faith journey or coming to know God.
Yeah. So when did you feel like, because based on what I've just said, I feel like when did you think, okay, this is something I actually want to explore. I'm actually interested in it. Because I think it begins with that of like sparking an interest.
Okay. So like I'm not gonna go all the way back to the beginning, like from childhood, but we can go there.
Yeah, yeah.
The conversation goes there.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd say like going to our uni has a big Muslim population, you know.
Okay. Muslim. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you know, growing up, I've always been around Christians, but I've been around a lot of Christians who don't live out their faith. So like, okay, you're a Christian, whatever that means, because I had no knowledge. But meanwhile, you're in a I don't know, promiscuous relationship, or you're getting drunk like me, or I don't know, you know, whatever. There's no separation between me and you. So I wasn't really intrigued by their faith at all.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, going to a uni where there was a lot of Muslim people, I didn't grow up with like a lot of Muslims in my area. I just really saw like externally their reverence for God. You know, they had the hijab, they were going to the prayer building. And I'm saying externally because, you know, we know as Christians it's not the superficial things, it's like your heart.
You're right, first.
But then I saw, I just really like, oh, just looked at these people and saw how they're living from the outside, living separately from the world and like mm-hmm. following God. And then I think also like really fancying / hardcore idolizing this guy.
Okay.
That, why am I saying this?
It was a man.
Yeah.
But yeah, my fantasy husband was Muslim. So, you know, okay. I'm thinking like,
yeah,
I need to be the best. I'm joking. I didn't want to be the best Muslim. But yeah, so like from there, I really like delve deep into Islam, like watching these Islam YouTubers and they're talking about different like morality principles and blah, blah, blah. And I found it very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I just found it interesting and I was intrigued by the faith. And then the question is, how did like, is this about how my heart became open to Christianity?
Yeah.
And then, yeah, okay. This is like kind of a long story. I'm jumping around. So yeah, basically intrigued with Muslims. And then I was definitely a new age type of person.
Oh, really? Okay.
So, which is, you know, divination, witchcraft that I know now in hindsight. But I was definitely saging up my room as in like, especially when I'm going home, my mum's, I don't know, beefing me. I'm like, get that toxic energy out.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
All those energies. I'm like, yeah, you know, the crystals, they have energy. I believe in like another dimension where all the vibrations, you know.
No way. Yeah. That's so weird because now that you're saying that, I never got that vibe. You always seemed like someone who was just like not really interested in anything.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know. I was.
That's the impression I got from you. Like, you governed your own life. Like, you were just.
I definitely did.
Selfish. Yeah, but like outside of any other influence.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm.
Like, I'm just Amy. I just do my own thing, full stop. That's how I always saw it.
Mm. Yeah. I think I've definitely always been like a person living for myself. Mm-hmm. But like during my uni time, I was definitely exploring different spiritual things.
Okay.
I don't think I really was per se in like secondary school and all of that. But yeah, so I had crystals. So like, especially like when I ended up visiting a church and studying Bible, blah, 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 I would have different crystals in my, like my, one in my bra, one tucked to my pocket. I'm thinking like, oh, I've woken up in a bad mood. So let me cocktail these crystals, you know, put them in the sun so they, I don't know, like, you know, the reset the energy or something.
Right, yeah.
Doing all of that. Obviously, I fancied that guy. This is second year I'm sort of referencing
to.
So I'd be going to bed watching tarot readings every single night, you know. Mm-hmm. And it was very accurate telling me like, oh, this person will do X, Y, Z. And it happened.
Oh, wow. No you way. Know? Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
So I guess all of that. And then basically, and obviously I was like, was in proximity to Christians.
Right, yeah.
And then one day I was walking to, I don't know, a project to meet someone in my course.
Mm-hmm.
And like this girl stopped me, this blonde, blue eye, I'm joking. If she isn't, she'll notice. This girl with like a very like, hey, yeah, you know, like very like, woo, like energy.
Mm-hmm.
And then a short black girl from, I don't know, South London with her. I was thinking, oh, this is a...
interesting. Interesting combination.
Literally, where is this melding?
Yeah.
And she was like, yeah, do you believe in God? And I was like, yeah, I believe in God. And then... I don't know if you remember me saying this.
Mm-hmm.
I'd always be like, yeah, I pray, but I pray every other night.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I remember you would kind of say things like that, but it would be like that surface level kind of thing, you know?
Mm.
Yeah.
I was praying every other night because praying every night was like, that's, come on, give me personal space. Yeah. So I don't need to talk to you all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then she just asked me like, do I have faith in God? And I was like, you know, I was kind of blasé, I guess. Superficial with that. And then she was like asking me a bit slightly deeper questions. I'm thinking like, whoa, I'm on the campus, you know, I guess the main courts of campus. Like, why are we going in?
Yeah, I hear that.
And then she was like, would you like to study the Bible? And I was like, yeah, why not? Because I thought if it's a book of fairy tales, what is there to lose? You know, at least I can say I've explored it. And if it is the truth, then I've got a lot to gain. I kind of was like,
okay,
nothing to lose kind of thing.
Yeah. And I guess I'll stop there.
Do you know what? I will say, yeah, that's interesting because I think for you to have that mindset of like, okay, if it's fake, it's fake. And if it's the truth, I have a lot to gain.
Yeah.
That must be like, that's definitely God. Like that's a seed from the Holy Spirit, basically. Mm. I don't think that like we were coming to those conclusions, I think is evidence of the grace of God for you to think that for yourself. Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
And it just goes to show like how God is like pursuing us way before we even come to that realization of, okay, now I actually want to become a Christian. Mm. like this pursuit is a journey that starts way before that. And I think that's just like so beautiful to recognize.
Mm.
Crazy.
No, that's interesting. It's like an interruption that you didn't expect, and it suddenly led you, like you went down a right angle so suddenly.
Yeah.
And it could have felt sudden to you at the time, but it was all part of God's plan.
Mm.
That's crazy. So what happened after that?
Yeah, even with that, like, you know, you're saying like it's a seed. That's the thing, like, even if I track back from when I was a kid, God like puts all these little,
yeah,
I don't know what you want to call it, drops all these little yeah. things so that you are led to him
yeah.
at his right timing, you know, and he's patient so that all come to salvation.
Yeah.
I am a really bad paraphraser of scriptures. So that's
trust
why
me, I'm the same.
I'm trying to get the Bible out.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah. Cool. So did the Bible discussion, and I thought it'd be kind of like a group sort of thing.
Okay.
You know, like mm-hmm. I don't know, like kind of like it's an AA meeting, like there's several of us.
Yeah.
Cool. And I meet the girl, the two girls, and yeah, it's me, them, and the Bible. I'm like,
okay,
where's the rest of y'all? Where's the rest?
Yeah, yeah, were they here?
Yeah. Literally. And you know, it was definitely very focused on me, I guess, in helping okay. me come to understanding of the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, what I really loved is that the girl, the blonde girl,
mm-hmm.
she was so knowledgeable of the word.
Right.
So I'd say some type of, I don't know, what's it called? Like, what's that thing called? How, like, secular perspective of the world and right. the universe. And she'd be like, oh, the Bible. Flips okay, and she says yeah, the Bible says this yeah. and it would blow my mind
yeah.
that each thing that I think is so profound, so deep, spiritual, she's yeah. like, oh, God said that ages ago, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm, it's in black mm-hmm. and white. And I think things like that really like inspired my faith, like, wow, what is this?
Yeah.
And you know, through our time of studying, I feel like I can't well, maybe I could, but I don't want to condense, you know, everything from studying. I don't want to do it in 2 seconds.
Yeah.
But yeah, so what I'm saying, like, God's word just had everything in black and white. Where am I going with this?
It's okay, take your time, girls.
Yeah, okay, so you have this experience of these two girls.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's literally, what's it called, shooting the word at you every mm-hmm. single time you say something. She's got like a response to that. So did you go back to them many, many times, or did you decide, is that when you decided to start to come to TRF, or what did you do after that when you realized the Bible had everything everything you were thinking about?
Yeah,
so yeah, it was something definitely consistent. I think that's what is it. So yeah, okay, I was having those very like euphoric experience
mm-hmm.
coming to know God's word, just yeah. like little things. And what was so like, I guess, impactful about it is that I could feel it filling a God-shaped peace in me, right, if that makes right. sense.
Yeah.
And nothing beforehand had given me that fullness,
mm-hmm.
like nothing, you know. I said I was in all the new age and Islam and athletics, that was an idol in my life, and other things, whatever, idolizing men,
mm-hmm.
Nothing like, yeah, fulfilled that piece of me. I remember describing to them, like, this is, you know, back in that day.
Yeah.
Back in that day.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys, I'm eating boba.
Amy has a lovely looking bubble tea in front yeah, of her.
Matcha.
She's drinking.
And everyone's drink matcha. But yeah, so I remember describing to the girls, like, I felt like, almost like, you know, an astronaut is in space, they're just floating
mm-hmm.
around.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like the Bible was plugging me back in, you know, the lead, like on the thing.
Wow,
like,
yeah.
That's what I felt like.
Yeah.
It was just so crazy. And actually at this point, our mutual friend,
mm-hmm.
I kind of like had, I guess, a rift, but a separation in our friendship.
Okay.
And obviously, even to this day, I really value my friendship with the person. And that separation allowed me to become a whole Christian and grow in our faith, you know?
Okay, yeah.
But also took away the codependency in the friendship.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
like, this time, it was just so weird. Because yeah, I think even then, you know, I thought like, I guess I'm going to have to leave this friendship. You know, I do care about this person, but I'm just going to...
Yeah, yeah.
I guess I'm on my own again. And then I meet these two girls, I said, start studying the Bible. And I don't know if it was me being committed to studying, but I guess it was kind of like, well, once you know a bit, you want to know more.
Yeah, yeah.
And you want to come to an understanding. So I guess that's like the initial sunshine lollipop of it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But yeah.
Oh, that's so interesting. God bless those two girls. Oh my gosh. Yes. Do you think, because I often hear people talk about, like, you know, people come to them and evangelize to them and want to speak to them. What do you think it was about them? Do you think it was, because some people find that annoying, you know, they're like, oh my gosh, leave me alone. Like, I've got the, I know what I believe. I don't really want to become a Christian. I'm not really interested. What do you think it was about those girls? Was it just like their nature, their authenticity? Like, what do you think it was? Or do you think it was just timing, God's time?
I think it's definitely God's timing, yeah. Because, you know, I think there's like this conversation, like, I don't know, it takes me to, oh, people like that are why someone's not a Christian, but the person on the corner shouting, repent, repent. Yeah. You know, me hearing that, let's say 10 years ago, and then this happening and this happening, it all leads you to God. Mm-hmm. So you can't say one person or not's doing it wrong. But yeah, I think it was just God. I can't say it was just God. And I, you know, they were such an odd match. It was so weird to me. Yeah. And she was like beaming a smile, you know, she's like, hey. And I was looking at the other girl, you know, from South London. And I was thinking like, girl, I wasn't judging. I was like, you know, she's cool, but what's going on?
That's so interesting. So do you think, so like you would probably say that's like the genesis point when you were like, okay, I'm actually interested in getting to know God type of thing. When do you think it was like, I want to make this my lifestyle. I want this to be me, you know?
So in between, oh my gosh, God, like, wow, so cool. And me wanting to make him Lord. Mm-hmm. That was a period of 8.5 months.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. Because even before this time of meeting the girls, I just turned 20 years old. So, okay, you knew me. I was in the club, you know, whatever, living for myself pretty plainly. Mm-hmm. And when I turned 20, I was thinking like, no, Amy, you're being too conservative. Why are you holding back?
We talk about this all the time. Oh, really? On the pod. Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Feeling like we're doing everything right. We're doing it the right way, at the right time, in the right, like, that can feel exhausting sometimes. But anyway, go on. You felt like you're being too conservative. Yeah. Let go. Yeah.
Literally, I thought, no. Like, you know what I mean? These type of uni story time. Let's make it a reality, you know?
Exactly. Yeah, I hear that.
So that's kind of like something even through my time of studying Bible and even meeting those girls. That was a real putting a brake, the slam on me. Slam the brakes, yeah. But so cool. I think like a big stumbling block in me studying the Bible was when it came to talking about sin.
Okay.
Which involves a lot of self-denial, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm coughing in the mic. Sorry, guys.
I listen, don't mind. Don't worry.
I do it all the time.
But yeah, so obviously at this point, I've built a relationship with the girls. We were meeting in the bougie cafe on campus.
Okay,
I'm not going to say that company. That's what, how many letters? Five letters,
yeah,
but the coffee ain't good.
Okay,
talking about the bougie one.
yeah
And yeah, so we'd meet then, I would have a friendship, like me and that girl, both girls were so close. And obviously now they're my sisters. So we have this friendship, and then it comes to talking about sin, and like my stepping stone in me building a faith was like, I don't know, I need to do it authentically. There's no point like me going, oh yeah, okay, I don't know, baptize me, make me a Christian, like with what root, like, you know, I don't have no one to impress with my faith. I want to sincerely follow God if I'm going to. And even with that, I don't know, I think maybe after sin came about in the conversation, I became a bit more skeptical, and I was like, oh, I need to read the Bible back to front before I become a Christian, because you're signing a contract, essentially, you know, and you want to know the contents of your contract. But I didn't read the whole Bible when I became a Christian. Mm-hmm. That was God.
To this day, I haven't read the whole Bible. Have you read the whole Bible, Joyce?
To this day, girl, to this day.
There's still chapters that are unread.
Yeah. Yeah.
Crazy.
What chapter?
Amy said you better change it. You better change it.
Okay, the book of, let's say the book of Zephaniah.
Okay, yeah.
I haven't read the whole book of Zephaniah. I mean, somebody out there has. I haven't.
Yeah.
The book of Ezra. The book of that. There are so many books I have obviously read parts of, but I haven't read the whole thing.
Yeah.
And that's fine. And I think it's good that you still managed to dedicate your life having not read the whole thing. Because how long will you spend reading that? It's confusing to read it from beginning to end. But okay, now I'll give my life.
Yeah.
So anyway, carry on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And this idea of, I think sometimes people struggle with this a lot of, I need to be a certain way before I like fully commit to being a Christian. For some people, it's like, I need to be perfect or better than I am now. Yeah. Or for some people, it's like, I need to know what I'm getting into, like fully. Literally. Do you know what I mean? Okay, and it's weird because you can't fully know. It's only God that's going to reveal those mysteries to you. And it's like a journey that you're going to grow in, rather than it being like, okay, I fully know what it's about and now I'm going to join type of thing. So yeah, no, I hear you when you say that, to be honest.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And where are we going with this? So we're talking about, I guess, the conversation of sin coming up. And this is where like the beautiful music kind of stops, I guess, because it's kind of like, I don't know, attacking your sense of self.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
They, you know, brought different scriptures about on sin, and I was like, you know, okay, done that. Let's say, I don't know. Coveting is like, oh, they taught me through what means what, and I'd be like, oh, coveting, yeah, okay, whatever, thinking like, oh my gosh, I'm so self-righteous that I can like say, oh, prideful, everyone's prideful, that's what I would that's what I said. Yeah. That's what I genuinely believe, like, oh, everyone's prideful, oh yeah, do covet, oh, okay, lust, yes. But I knew up until that point, sins that I did in my childhood, there was two sins that I did in my childhood that to that day would burn in the back of my mind like black mold.
Right.
Like it would just fester. And I remember like when I obviously didn't have was seeking a relationship with God, I'd pray like, God, please help me to forget those things that I'd done. It brought me so much shame and like disgust. And I thought like, no one knew, you know, only me.
Yeah.
And I thought like, you know, God willing, I can forget this, what I've done and take it to the grave, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So imagine these girls, like you're, I guess you have this like childlike, you're building this childlike fondness or love for God. Mm. And then they're saying like, oh, you know, tell me, you need to confess everything. Because I know in the Christian community, it can be like confessing to God, but it says in the Bible, confess to one another so that you can pray for each other and be healed. Like that's a big part of confessing our sin. And I don't know, like denying ourselves and I don't know, bringing light back into where there's darkness. And I just wasn't ready to do that. I felt like it was, they were asking me to do something very humiliating. I thought like, why do you want me to embarrass me in front of you? And then from there, I felt like, are you only friends with me because you want me to become a Christian? You know, and they're probably like, well, Because I was thinking like, well, guys, if I think this is not for me, are we, like, not going to be friends?
Okay, wow.
And it wasn't even like, yes, Amy, we will. It was kind of like, not crickets, but you know what I mean.
Okay, that's interesting, you know?
That's very interesting. Yeah. So are you saying that they were basically like, okay, so what did you do?
Mm-hmm. No, it wasn't like, you know, the spotlight, the mic is on me. It was like a very open environment of sharing where they have fallen short in their relationship before God or something. And even like certain sins that I thought was embarrassing, they would share, can I say like, or not that they did, you know, but like, for example, masturbation, I thought that was such an embarrassing thing.
Right.
And like, even that being a topic of the conversation, I was like, oh my gosh, okay, I guess it's my moment, you know, to like talk about something like that. But it was kind of like, it was kind of like, okay, is there anything that you feel like you need to confess? And I think it's important in our relationship with God and becoming Christian, is a large part of it is acknowledging our sin, because that's why we need Jesus. And that's why, we need God. And to be honest, I just wasn't ready to do it. And it went to the point where I was like, I don't want to, like, at this point, I would think I was going to the church as well. I was like, I don't want to study the Bible with the girls anymore. Can it be with someone else? Because I knew I can't confess to you. Like,
okay,
imagine like, you know, a bestie and you're telling them all the ugly side of you. I thought like, and I still had, I guess, a worldly mindset. So I just couldn't see the benefit of it. So I guess that's a sin part. Any question?
That's interesting, because like, I think it, just listening to what you're just saying now, sometimes when we feel like, oh, this is really horrible thing that I did and I don't want to say anything, like I'm trying to protect it almost, it's like condemnation. The enemy's going to use that against you, because I know you're trying to hide that. Okay, remember when you did this? Like, as soon as you're trying to come out of this place or progress with God, this thing is literally holding you back. And I think obviously, like, with most things, you have to have wisdom in who you say things to, mm-hmm. and whatever. But I think that scripture of confessing sins one to another is so helpful because it builds that sense of accountability, because that person knows your weak spots and your blind spots. And so maybe if they see you going down that road again, they're able to say, you know what, let me help you be accountable. Let me help you do better, kind of thing. And yeah, it takes a lot of vulnerability. And like we always talk about on the pod, I personally don't like vulnerability. I don't want you to know all my secrets, you know. I don't want you to know about me. But you do need to find those people in your life that you can just be like, you know what, this is what's happening. You know what, I'm letting myself down. You know what, I actually haven't read my Bible this whole week. And yeah, I just need someone to just help me, because you can't do it by yourself. Like, no man is an island, you know. God intended for us to be part of the body of Christ, to help one another, edify one another. And so it's really important that we do that. And yeah, I guess I kind of understand why it was hard for you to be open about that, because mm-hmm. people can be Christians for 10 years and they can't even do it. So yeah, it's difficult.
Yeah.
Were you raised in an environment where speaking about confessing your sin was a conversation you heard often? Because I went to a Catholic primary school, mm-hmm. and I went to a Church of England secondary school in sixth form. And during life in primary school, they would always have confessions mm-hmm. to the priest, and I never got involved in that. I don't know if it's because I never had my what's it called, that communion thing you do.
Holy Communion.
I did my Holy Communion. Yeah. And also I was going to a Pentecostal church outside of it. Right. Anyway, that aside, growing up, I did not hear about confessing your sins to each other.
Yeah.
Did you hear about that? Because I didn't.
Do you know what? To be honest, in charismatic circles, it's a bit more rare.
And that's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, that is.
Because they put such a spotlight on how bad you are as an individual, but they don't encourage you to confess your sin to other people in the church. Yeah. It's confess your sin to God, because if you don't, you're going to die and go to hell. Wow. It was never confess your sin to your sister, confess your sin to other people. So hearing that verse, it's like I've heard it before, but hearing you say it in that context is so eye-opening for me.
Yeah, no, it is.
Because I've never been told, oh, you know, your friend Joyce, who you really value, maybe it's good that you confess what you're going through to her.
Yeah.
I always associated confession with Catholics.
Yeah, you're right.
Interesting.
That is interesting.
Yeah.
Come on now, you're just giving us all the gems today, Amy.
I feel like we should read the scripture maybe towards the end so that you're getting the conviction from the quoted scripture. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm actually so like happy that you, even from us discussing sin and confessing to one another, because that is a really important, like, I don't know, biblical principle in us living out our faith.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, I guess like, I feel like otherwise it's quite, how can I trust you if like you're holding on to your sin, I'm holding on to mine.
Yeah.
We're giving each other the eye. We can't suss one another out. You know, we don't know what our struggles is and what we're going through in the darkness.
Yeah.
And yeah, like for me in my relationships with other Christians, it's like the foundation, you know, of, because for me, it's like one of my first acts of like getting right with God again, because obviously I didn't confess then mm-hmm. when I was a non-Christian. It's a part of my journey now.
Yeah.
Whether that's, I don't know, being short-tempered and towards my mum, you know, and being angry one time, but I feel like that's kind of superficial. I'm not saying that's superficial, but like I know there's sins I'm like more.
Right. Yeah.
But another, I guess, a sin that I guess makes me feel quite low about myself is sometimes my lack to have love in the way I communicate things.
Right.
Sometimes I can be too like advice prescriptive, you know?
Yeah.
That I don't realize that my words lack love and empathy. And then I think like, oh my gosh, like how can I lack this social skill and I can hurt people
by
the way I choose to communicate.
Right.
So that's one. And you know, all types of things. And like, yeah, and then we can go to God in prayer, both of us, you know, I can pray for you and you'll pray to God.
Yeah.
And that way we're not walking in our faith on our own, but with the family of believers.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's where it becomes dangerous. I think it becomes dangerous where you're like, I'm not going to speak to anyone about this. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not even going to be so much in the church community. I'm just going to toe this line by myself. I've got this. I don't need people. I don't need leaders. I think that that's when you start spiraling out of control. And then before you know it, you're even questioning the very thing that you say or the very God that you say you belong to.
For sure.
So yeah, that's such a key. But one question I wanted to ask mm-hmm. was, like, in your journey, when you were kind of getting to know God more, you're reading the word, you're kind of contemplating becoming a Christian, did you naturally decide to stop participating in like New Age beliefs or exploring other religions, or were you kind of just on that journey doing it all at the same time?
Okay, so this is kind of interesting, and I'm gonna try and not like go dart in too many directions.
Yeah,
cool. So at this point, blah blah blah, I'm studying the Bible with the girls, and I think from then, oh yeah, from the first study, they said, oh, like, do you have a Bible? I didn't have a Bible because I didn't grow yeah. up in a believing home or anything. So I remember going to Brunel Library trying to look for a Bible. You know, I'm still very new to church lingo, you know, okay. politics and yeah. all the translations of the Bible. Like, I was, you know, so I remember, like, it's kind of cute thinking about it, but like, yeah, going there to the library and I pick a Bible. Maybe it's some, I think, KJV.
Brunel has libraries. I mean, Brunel has Bibles.
Yeah. Yeah, there were some planning sessions I would go and get a Bible from the library.
Aww.
Yeah.
Mm. Lovely, anyway.
I think I even maybe went on the laptop or something. You know, when you search for a Bible.
Yeah,
you
yeah, know? Yeah. It will be there.
Because the funny thing, like, the Bible is a book, and that's why I think it's so good for us to, like I said ages ago, take yourself sometimes out of your faith, not in a dangerous way, mm-hmm. but sometimes to see your faith from outside perspective.
No. Like,
the Bible is a book that yeah, people can yeah. read, and you can find it in the library.
That's I it. Just didn't know. Well, you know,
that's just the fact world. Of it. And yeah. I think it's good that it's that accessible. And it's also interesting how, I remember earlier you said this fairy tale book.
Mm.
To some people, it's just a mystical
yeah.
thing
exactly. yeah.
that is
yeah.
not real. It's just, it might as well be a book of fairy tales.
Mm-hmm. Crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I remember going to the girls, like looking at them as if they were stupid. Like, you believe in Adam and Eve? Like, I tell yeah. now, yes, I believe in the creation story, yeah. you know, and let me not go there. But, you know, people think, oh, you don't believe in, what is it called? Evolution. Yeah. Who said that? Yeah. Who said that? You can believe in both.
Yeah.
Because the Bible says, you know, like, for God, paraphrasing again, sorry, like, one day is like 1,000 days and 1,000 yeah. days is like one day. So God is like, I don't explain it. I'm doing a motion with my hand. He's the holder of time. So if yeah. he wants to, yeah. And anyways, and people are like, oh, but, you know, humans aren't involved because, like, I don't know, God creates something perfect the first time. But Neanderthals?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Neanderthals.
Yeah, they're not humans. So you can't say, like, if that makes sense, or like a monkey is not a human.
Right,
a human's
right.
a human. A Homo mm-hmm. sapiens is a Homo sapiens. So I don't know where I'm going with this. But basically, guys, don't come for the Bible. It's back to my science,
yeah,
okay?
Yeah.
But next one, next pod.
Yeah, so you said you went to look for a Bible.
Yes, mm-hmm. thank yeah. you for redirecting me to the story. Cool. So I went to look for a Bible, and you asked me the question of when I decided from yeah. enjoying it to making it like...
Whatever. When did you decide you were going to let go of like all these other like, you know, practices that you were involved in, you know?
Okay, now I remember the Bible story. Basically, they advised me to get a Bible. I got a Bible. I think I ended up returning it. But from that time meeting them, I was reading the Bible every single day. I said, I need to read the Bible every single day. And I did that up until... I finished the Bible completely. This is months down the line.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I finished the Bible completely, this at this point as a Christian, I was like, oh, that was intense. Let me have a break. I went through a spiritual drought through that break, okay. let's say a week. Yeah. But yeah.
Well.
So I committed to like reading the Bible because I want to know. It's like, well, what is this about? I need to find like figure this out.
Yeah.
And question is when I want to stop my things. Okay, so I think, like, for me, the Bible was so impactful. Like, it was very, like, it really shook my world. Like, it, I don't know, it's been, like, divided my world. I don't know if you want to say, like, spirit realm and physical, but, like,
yeah.
when I would do something contradictory to the word, mm-hmm. which I became aware of, it was like my eyes completely opened.
Wow.
Yeah. And I just thought, like, I was so aware of the hypocrisy that I was in.
Mm-hmm.
So even during that time, so I studied the Bible for 3 weeks, TMI, but you know what, like, it's actually, it doesn't matter. So I remember that time, so 3 weeks in, I was like, oh, let me, mum, I hope she's not so I was like, okay, I'm going to go and masturbate,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And so I went to do that, like, oh, you know, I was kind of a newbie to that lifestyle, I'm gonna yeah. go. And I remember doing that, and I just felt so, like, convicted.
Yeah, yeah.
And I never did it again, till this day.
Wow, come on. Ooh, come on now.
You know.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was God giving me that conviction. And I think like studying the word and as I said, like being aware, becoming aware of church culture, I thought, I sort of found it like, I don't know if the word's infuriating, like you're trying to tell me the only way to be right with God or go to heaven is being a Christian. What about the good Muslim?
Yeah.
What about the good neighbor, whatever? Mm. And I think maybe only when it came to the sin study that I stopped with the whole divination and witchcraft thing.
Okay, right.
Not literally witchcraft, but I'm saying that's like, it's what it's categorized as.
Yeah.
So yeah, I guess, and then clubbing and everything. You know, because even clubbing was a discussion in our sin study, and how it's like, even I'm reading Exodus, and in Exodus, the Israelites, they're engaging in parties. I'm saying the definition because I don't remember the exact word.
Yeah.
But they were engaging in parties with loud alcohol, with alcohol that are loud and rival, lively, I guess.
Yeah, like wild parties. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. And, you know, carousing is like, a environment with alcohol and wild partying. And then there's even in the sin list, you know, orgies. And we know what the club can be like with all the heavy dancing.
Yeah, I tell you.
And people literally... So it was kind of, I guess, like being aware of an environment that will help nurture my faith and like keep me protected.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you can be a Christian there, but is it beneficial? Yes, Jesus hung around sinners, but he kind of was in an environment that he wasn't lost in, that he could not dictate, but you know what I mean?
It's like in the world, but not of the world.
Exactly. And what are you going to go like when people are dancing on each other? Hey, do you know about Jesus? Like, come on, it's a losing battle, guys.
Evangelizing in the club.
Ah, people would suggest that to you. I feel like, you know what? We should just go evangelize.
Let's just go hand out trucks.
Let's just get it. Just be like, please. No, that's interesting. Did you find that hard, letting go of that? Or was it... Because you strike me as someone who's very... and I admire this about you. You're determined. If you're going to do something, I tell you, you're going to do it. You do come across as someone who, when you believe something and you're for something, and I think that's why I genuinely can say you are someone who would be a big asset to the kingdom of God, because you're a person of conviction. You believe something and you believe it wholeheartedly. You know, some people have greatest of intentions, but they don't have the discipline or the nature to sustain that. Do you got what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think you come across more so like that. But did you find it hard kind of giving up some things? Was it like, oh, I really like this though?
Definitely, definitely. Because remember, you know, 20, I made that covenant with myself.
Covenant, you know.
Let's call it what it is.
Yeah.
That I'm going to be wild.
Wow.
And the thing is, like, what I'm kind of grateful for in my, journey into becoming a Christian is that life was very good.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that helps. Not that, like, my testimony would be weak without it, but I think that strengthens my testimony because I feel like unbelievers may be like, oh, you were in a depression and then you came to God. It's like, oh, but maybe that's why, because it's kind of like you needed something self-soothing.
Okay.
No, according to my standards, I was living great, you know.
Mm.
I think I was just recovering from the trauma of sixth form, you know, and second year in uni, I found my footing and no, life was really good. And you asked me, was it hard? Yeah, it definitely was hard. And that's why I had like an 8.5 month wrestle.
I see, right. Some people's a 10-year wrestle.
Yeah.
It really is,
yeah. And I think I, you know, definitely what I struggled with the most is being a lover of the world, you know. I don't know if I can go into this bit. So this is coming, I guess, to the tail end of my faith, and I don't know if, because you can only repent of what you know of, so I don't know if I was made aware of these things. But I remember, like, at this point I'm reading my Bible every day, I've had the studies regularly or studying regularly with different Christians, I'm going to church, if I didn't say that. And cool, I remember being in church one time and like I'm with the group of youths, and he's like, oh, and we're cool now, he's my brother now, you
yeah
know?
Yeah.
And he was like, oh yeah, you're a visitor. And I was thinking, what?
Wow. Okay.
He didn't like say you're a visitor, but you know, like in passing the conversation, he kind of referred to me as a visitor. I'm thinking like, I'm not a visitor. I'm a part of this. I wasn't a part of it, you know? And that's the thing, like one scripture that I like to refer to in different contexts is like the parable of the 10 virgins, you know?
Yeah.
And how like you can be in the crowd but not a part of the crowd, you know. Some had enough oil and some didn't, mm-hmm. but they had all the, I guess, external appearance of being a virgin.
Right, yeah.
And, you know, only the few were allowed in the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I had, at this point, I had a close proximity to God. I gave up a lot of, I guess, worldly things in my life. Mm-hmm. But no, I wasn't made right in my relationship with him.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember even then, so I was reading my Bible and I read in, I think it's Matthew, I don't know where, you know, it says a sign of the end times.
Right, right.
It says, okay, two will be milling, let's say, grain. One will be taken up, one will be left behind, and all these different things.
Mm-hmm.
When I was reading, I was like convulsing, that like shaking. I was shaking reading it
mm-hmm.
because I was thinking like, I'm the one, is it left behind or?
Wow, yeah.
But I just realized like, whoa,
wow.
That's me. Like genuinely, it wasn't like, oh, I'm going to shake. Yeah. I was like, I don't know, fearful, you could say.
Yeah.
But, and all throughout these 8 months, I didn't confess my oh my gosh, Pandora box sin or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, and I made that pretty clear to the people around me, the Christians around me, like, oh yeah, no, I still haven't confessed this because, you know, I think it's very important as a Christian or someone seeking God, you need to let people know where you're at. And no one's impressed if you give your life to God without the sincerity behind it, because that's not giving your life to God, you know?
Yeah.
So like, take your time and to build those convictions. So yeah, still didn't confess those sins. Read that part of the thing, was scared. I remember even actually, so you know my group of friends, the two girls who initially studied
for yeah, me, yeah.
And they were talking about sin. I had 5 studies on sin.
Wow.
Back to back to back. Imagine.
Oh, is this on the Bible app, right?
No, like just in the Bible. So oh, okay. Various scriptures on sin, you know.
I see.
So imagine, right. I think this is before I asked to switch with them.
Okay.
And imagine, I'm thinking like, guys, I don't want to tell you. Like, I think they're not getting the message. And that's how I thought, how I began to think, is this relationship conditional? And that was very hurtful to me.
Right, right.
And I remember one time, so I had an exam. And you know what? They like taught me how to, obviously I pray for, but they taught me how to pray. So like before exams, I was praying to God, you know, I was next to my crush.
Yeah. I hate that, yeah.
Yeah, and I was praying to God. I remember I was so scared about these exams. Maybe I didn't revise fully or something. And they just, you know, said, Amy, I'm going to pray for you. You know, then they were helping me like to put my confidence in this God that I didn't even fully know yet. I know I'm bouncing around. Sorry, guys. Hopefully you're getting...
It's okay. Go for it, girl. Flow. We're with you.
Some type of gist.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, I remember I had an exam. It went really badly. And we did a FaceTime study. And then, you know, my friend, she's Australian. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's why I'm saying she has a y'all. Not literally.
Yeah.
And she was like, she just brought up the sin again. And I was like, when is this girl gonna get my message? Yeah. So I definitely cried.
Oh.
And then what was so funny, which we laugh about in hindsight, is that I fell asleep on FaceTime. I was so burnt out. Cool. Guys, the question that Joyce asked me was, when did I decide to take God serious? Okay. Basically, what I'm trying to say, guys, is that I was not ready to confess my sin.
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't remember, like, and I have this book here, because this book says, after I became a Christian, me explaining why I gave my life to God. That's why I'm going to read that excerpt. I don't think it was me reading the sign of the end times, but that was definitely very fearful, fearing, I don't know the word, for me. But this is where God said, boom, 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 like, this is the week.
Mm-hmm.
Was basically all the things I placed confidence in, things of this world, failed me in 1 week.
Wow.
So one was my crush, the Hercules, whatever, the best man you like.
Yeah,
yeah.
And guys, feel free to interject because I'm talking a long time.
Don't worry, go for it.
I'm enjoying this.
And cool, I remember like going to talk to him, or I walk past the library and I go and see him, and he's with another girl, but as it was just a in my head relationship sort of thing, but we'd talk here and there.
Yeah.
And then he like just completely like disrespected me, like in front of this girl. I just felt so disrespected and humiliated by him. Then that same day, the necklace I'm actually wearing at this whatever podcast.
Yeah.
And this is what I got myself from Romania, my 21st. And oh my gosh, bling bling, whatever. It snapped and broke.
Oh wow.
And then my earring, I wear these two like gold earrings I got on my 18th. I lost one. Oh, so wow. Like,
you know, gotta say, I'm gonna take everything from you.
Even Job.
Wow.
But yeah, it may seem like futile, but these were things that I truly valued. Yes,
yeah.
I did love the material world. And I didn't want to, like, you know, when you give your life to God, yes, you can have a boyfriend. But you know what I mean? It's not the same way as the world.
Yeah,
you know?
I see.
And then I just realized the futility of things. It's like, it just opened my eyes, like, wow, the things I place confidence on don't love me back, you know? Whereas sure. Put your confidence in God, God loves you back. But yeah. The things, the boy... the gold, jewelry, whatever, they don't.
Yeah.
And then, so yeah, I think maybe that was kind of like an epiphany moment. And I remember going to like one Christian or one sister at the church. And maybe I could sense that she could relate to the sin that I was going to confess to her.
Okay.
So I go to her and I say, you know, I need to confess my sin. I need to confess my sin. So I go and tell her my sin. One of the two. Yeah. So now I'm one more.
One step closer. Yeah.
Literally. And you can only confess what you know of. Because, you know, at the time it's fully, but even now I'm thinking like, I've got that happened. And confess to her. And then I was studying with this other lady now. I've studied with a lot of people the Bible because it was an eight and a half month period. And we were sitting in Five Guys. And I think actually before this, I was looking for her in church.
Okay.
And she leads a church with her husband. And I was looking for her because she was studying Bible with me. I was like, where is she? I need to confess my sin.
Yeah.
I need to confess my sin. You know? Oh my gosh. It was a complete energy change.
Yeah.
And then, so cool, we have our study. And you know what I mean? Gosh, like... Mm-hmm. You can do anything on adrenaline. So
yeah.
You know I'm saying? Yeah. Oh, I want to confess. Mm-hmm. Puffs up chest, you know? And I think we have our study, and I think this is the time for me to confess my sin. And when I was, I remember, as I was saying it, breaking down in tears, sharing this, and it was in five, did I say it was in five?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what? The mold went. Wow. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So like, even though I know what I've done, it doesn't, there's now no condemnation.
Yeah.
I genuinely believe like, I believe in openness, but I'm not going to be open for the sake of openness.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Right now, the podcast can't hear it, but one day I'll bring it to light more along in my faith. But yeah, honestly, you can't shame me with anything that I've done before God anyways.
Yeah.
He's seen it all.
Exactly.
I've disrespected and hurt him before any of you guys or anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
So I just remember like just feeling like a release of tension and pressure. It was so humiliating to say those words.
Mm.
And you know what? She could relate to me.
Wow.
You know?
Yeah.
So you can relate.
Literally. So you can relate.
Yeah. Cool. Wow.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So should I pause there, you know, let you guys.
I think it's good. It's giving there is no bondage, you know. There really is no condemnation in Christ. And once again, it reminds you of this like, oh, there's a song I really, really like called Babe Truth. And I've spoken about it before.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, all timing is divinely in alignment and all I can do is my best. And that's what that reminds me of. You're looking for this woman. You finally found her in Five Guys. And like you confessed and you eventually found the person you're confessing to has gone through the same thing as you.
Mm-hmm.
If you were ever fearing condemnation, if you were ever fearing judgment, that wasn't present in that situation because she had the same problem. Or she had had the same problem. She had the same reservations. She had the same fears. And I think that's the beauty of God. It's like, you're so scared of something, but if only you would surrender, you'd realize it's not that deep. Because I'm going to put a person in front of you who has gone through the same thing as you, so that confessing is never going to be a scary thing for you again. Because every time you confess, I'm in control. And it's like, you just keep running, you keep running, you keep running. And God's like, if you were just to do it, you'd realize it was never going to be scary anyways.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what your story is telling me. It's like, you're so scared of doing things. We live in fear of what we could feel. I live in fear of what I could feel to this day, and I'm trying to get rid of it. It's actually bondage.
Yeah.
I don't do things because I'm scared that it's going to make me feel like this.
Yeah.
But that running away is just as scary as the fear that the thing that I'm avoiding, you know? And you never even know that if you finally stop and just say, okay, I surrender, let me just do this thing, it's never as bad as you think it's going to be. So that's what your story is telling me now. It's like, yeah, well, timing is divinely in alignment. If you were just to do what you feel in your heart to do, you'd realize that you're running for absolutely no reason, you know?
Wow. That's some deep stuff right there.
That's what it's giving. That's what it's giving. But yeah, that's a really nice testimony. And where are you now in your faith? What would you say?
Where am I now? So I turned 2 years old, October 26th.
Aww, happy birthday.
Yeah.
Happy birthday in Christ.
Thank yeah. you.
So before you carry on, my mum has two birthdays. One is her born again birthday. The other one.
That's how it should be.
She celebrates both. Yeah. Anyway, carry on.
Yeah. So you, okay. You asked me how I am now. So this is where I'm going to stick to. So yeah, it's been interesting. So I just finished final year.
Yeah.
I'm working now. And final year was definitely like a relationship time in my relationship with God where you are all I have to depend on,
right.
Which is great. It's very, I don't know, what it's faith building,
mm-hmm.
but it's really exhausting and draining, you know? And it was literally just a time that I was living one foot in front of the other, you know, like, you know, day by day by day.
Yeah.
I didn't know how I'm going to do it. I didn't know how I'm going to get through this.
Mm-hmm.
And like completely trusting in God. I was, you know, I'd be so exhausted because I'd commute into uni. Which, did you live on campus?
Yeah, yeah, I was on campus.
Oh yeah, because, you know, yeah. we live local, so I could have technically given her this, I guess.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was like, it was a very intense and yeah, God was definitely there for me. And my scripture I held onto was, I think, Isaiah 41:1-2 or something like that. 43 okay. maybe.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically like you'll pass through the waters and they will not sweep over you. You'll be in the, this is paraphrased guys, you'll be in the furnace and you'll not get burnt.
Right,
you know,
right.
So I like how we will be in these situations.
Yeah.
But just how God's not only with me, but his protection over me. So yeah, it was a very exhausting time of my life. Yeah, I remember being so like tired to pray and I'd be praying to God and I'm like, you know, nearly falling asleep or whatever. Yeah. And then I think coming out of that situation, graduating, I graduated with the knowledge like, oh, you're going to have to resit these exams, mm-hmm. you know, whatever, one or two. So I didn't even enjoy finishing mm-hmm. exams, quote unquote, in May or whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
I was still in like adrenaline mode. I was like, I didn't even give myself a time to congratulate myself. I said, you need to revise your retakes.
Yeah, yeah.
And I guess when you're kind of in that mode, I don't know what it is, but you're kind of out of touch of your emotions. Yes, I did cry. Yes, I did feel X, Y, Z emotion. But you don't have time to feel sorry for yourself when you've got to get stuff done. You
yeah.
know? Mm. And then, yeah, I guess when I finally finished my research I had to do, then I kind of felt the heaviness of everything that I didn't allow myself to feel.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I guess also on top of that, I'm dealing with like vacant feeling, like a numbness towards God because mm-hmm. I had such a passionate relationship.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm in this space of like nothingness and numbness. You know, I'm reading the word and I don't feel anything.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not where we should base our faith. And I'm happy that God's taught me the lesson of like a mature faith isn't based on feelings.
Yes. You know? Yeah.
But it's a hard lesson when you're a 1 year old in Christ.
Yeah.
And everything's feelings. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
You grow tired. There's this phrase that's in my head.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been in my head for a long time. And it just says, haven't we grown tired?
Oh.
And that's so depressing, but like,
yeah,
it's like, haven't we grown tired? Like, in so many situations, even in our faith, like, sometimes we just grow tired. But mm-hmm. the fact that you believe in God, the fact that, you know, he transformed you, the fact that, you know, he's your source and your provider and all of that, even in that tiredness, you're still breathing. And that's because of God himself. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that's all you need. Like, you had all of this babe in Christ. I'm so excited. I love to worship, blah, 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 blah. And then you hit this numbness, this tiredness, but it never makes you in denial of God's existence. And I think sometimes that's all you need to carry you, you know, through that season.
I'd like to share on the podcast why, like, my thoughts when I was, you know, freshly baptized into Christ and why I wrote then why I gave my life to him. So it goes, why did I do it? I realized there was nothing of real worth left in the world for me if God was absent in my life. The worldly things I loved, never loved me back, and I found out the hard way. But even then, God was so gracious and loving and still blessed and provided for me. I was becoming corrupted by my own control, and when I made myself Lord of my life, I always failed. Only until I read the word of God, I realized how unhappy and unfulfilled in my life I was, I guess. It opened my eyes and heart and made me realize not only do I lack peace, but I'm scared of the direction of destruction my life could go. I loved myself too much and was conceited and self-serving. I was becoming spiritually dead. I did it because I no longer wanted my plans, but God's. I wanted to live a life where I was forgiven for when I had sinned in a world which wouldn't allow me to be forgiven. I wanted the God I always loved and come to learn about, to accept me and to see me and love me. Yeah, and then it goes, I guess, sorry guys, what has changed because of your decision? The things I was afraid to lose hold of, I have given to God to control. I don't feel shortchanged in the world or resentful, and I have been able to let go of resentment and forgive others easier. Forgiveness is an ongoing thing, guys. Yeah. Two years down the line, but she was hopeful. I honestly don't want to ever feel angry again. I still have a lot to work on, but I have dropped most of my ego. Again, ego. You don't have to address it. I'm able to demonstrate godly sorrow because it hurts me to think I've hurt the one who loves me. I feel at peace even though I do not know the plan of my life anymore. I know that God will bless me. That's it, y'all.
That's beautiful.
That is so beautiful, man.
Like, I should do that. Well, why do I believe in God? I'm going to write that down. Sometimes I forget.
Just to end the episode, I think I'm going to read the scripture that we've been mentioning this whole time, which is James 5:16. So check it out, guys. Mm-hmm. It says, therefore, confess your sins one to another and pray for one another that you might be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as mm-hmm. it is working.
Mm, prayers of the Amen. Righteous prevail.
Love guys, that. Oh my God, Amy, thank you so much for coming on. Yeah. Honestly, I think people will really enjoy this episode. And yeah, I've learned a lot from this episode. Thank you for listening. Thank you for riding with us. It has been your girl, Joyce.
It's been me, your Defala.
Amy.
See ya.
Bye, guys. Thank you.